Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey there, Star Wars fans. Welcome back to another episode. Always fun anytime I can talk with, as I always say, call her Lady Sarah, because that's, you know, where I know you from. It's originally Game of Thrones, but you are on Twitter and everything else at Sarah Palpatine. Sarah, how are we doing today?
Thank you, Sir Matt, for having me on. Doing good. Excited to chat about Star Wars. Always.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. The last time we talked, we were just before we hit record here. I was trying to remember what it was, and it was the Mandalorian season 3 trailer that had dropped, and I think we did talk a little bit about Bad Batch, because I think Bad Batch was going on at that time, or maybe it was, I can't remember, but anyway, that's what we talked about. So today we're going to definitely dive into, now that Mandalorian season 3 is over, our Mando season 3, you know, sort of reaction, review, as well as visions. Might dive a little bit into Bad Batch, you know, season 2 here. And of course, you know, just wherever else the journey takes us, we just sort of go. So I think we will start here, Sarah, with general sort of thoughts of Mandalorian season 3 as a whole.
I really enjoyed it. I think after Andor and having to process so much and having just really stellar, crazy writing, and just being a phenomenal season, I like needed to kind of just dump my brain out and just decide to just buckle up, strap in for the ride, and just go with it. And so I really enjoyed it. I thought the finale was really good. Maybe a little, I wish the finale was a little bit longer, but I try not to get too nitpicky, but I enjoyed watching Grogu have a little independence, officially being adopted by Din Djarin was awesome. And I just loved getting to know Bo-Katan more, because I haven't met her in the Clone Wars yet. Not quite there. So
I'm with you. I liked this season. I don't know that I particularly loved it. If I had to sort of rank it, I would say that I maybe thought it was the weaker of the three seasons, but still being like the weaker of the three seasons is still, you know, like, you're an absolute amazing piece of content, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, what's the worst of the original trilogy? Well, it might be the first movie, you know, but that doesn't mean it's still Star Wars. I mean, so it's still a great, obviously great movie. So that's still how I sort of felt. But I guess maybe I just felt like after season 1 and 2, I felt a lot, you know, stronger about it. But I did like the overall Mandalorian arc of the season, and getting to run around with both Bo-Katan. There was a little bit of Grogu. I thought we were going to get a lot more about Grogu's story. They really teased us with those Order 66 stuff, but it was just really just one little, and that was cool. We got the flashback and, you know, Ahmaad Best, who played Jar Jar Binks. He also plays, I blank on the actual Jedi that he plays, but he plays the same Quillen Beck or something like that.
Kelleran Beck, yes.
Who he also, you know, that was the Jedi he played in the almost, like, I don't know, like Legends of the Hidden Temple show, is like the easiest way to sort of describe it, if anybody remembers that back on Nickelodeon in the day.
Oh yeah.
Or yeah, I mean, that's what, you know, but there is like this where they actual kids come on and it's like a Jedi temple challenge thing, but that is the character he plays there. So it's cool to get him to see like some cool redemption in Star Wars, and everyone was like, this is awesome. But we don't, so really all we know is that he is the one who actually saved Grogu from the temple, but we don't know anything else further, which they're going to save for a later date. But it just seemed like we were going to really begin to dive into it a bit more.
Yeah, it does kind of, like, I'm a little bit confused as to when season four will come around and when will the Mando-verse Dave Filoni movie come around. It's kind of like, and so by the time we got to the finale, I appreciate it. I like the cute little happy ending for sure. But, like, you know, we just got Mandalore back. We were hanging out with Bo-Katan. Like, Din Djarin didn't even say goodbye. We didn't even see him say goodbye. So it's kind of like, you know, it left me a little bit at the end, kind of like, well, where do we really go from here? Where's, like, the next step? And,
right.
Yeah, definitely want more of where did Grogu go after the Naboo people showed up and helped him and Kelleran Beck out there during that Order 66 flashback.
Yeah. And the ending, you know, the ending of this too, it almost felt like, man, you could have just ended the show there. I mean, it was just kind of like, okay, whoa, not. And then there was no post credit scene, which I thought we were definitely going to get some kind of post credits scene, something just to kind of set us into Ahsoka. We didn't get that. So I really feel like the Ahsoka show is probably going to, like, seems like they're really, I don't know. I feel like that's going to be the show of the year for,
probably,
for Star Wars.
Yeah. It's that's just, the baby. The Filoni's baby.
Yeah, because we got the trailers for it, and it just seems like, you know, I don't know. It just felt like, man, with the way Mando felt to me, just a little soft. Again, I still loved it, but just, you know, if you have to compare it to the other two seasons, then it's like, man, then it feels like Ahsoka might be the one that's like, this is the big one that's going to set everything up. I mean, they are in the trailer, they were talking about Grand Admiral Thrawn and, like, you know, heir to the Empire. I mean, they were talking about, like, some big stuff. So it seems like that's going to be, like, the bigger launching point. Whereas Book of Boba Fett was really just sort of like a side story. This feels like the next step.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm
Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very excited for Ahsoka. I mean, like you said, I hope that that's going to be like the one that packs the most punch, and it seems like it, because I don't know anything about Thrawn. I just downloaded Heir to the Empire, so hopefully can get some of that in there. But yeah, I mean, is he in Rebels and in
He's
Clone
in
Wars?
Rebels. No,
okay.
He's only,
okay.
He's only in Rebels. And of course, it feels like Thrawn's arc now is going to be sort of a blend of his arc in Rebels and some of his stuff from the books.
Okay.
Right? Both the now canon Thrawn books, because Timothy Zahn wrote both. Timothy Zahn wrote the original Thrawn trilogy, and he wrote the new Thrawn canon trilogy. And of course,
it's kind of different.
It's kind of different where Thrawn, like, shows up, because now when they reintroduced him, he was heavy before the Galactic Civil War, you know, episodes 4, 5, and 6. Whereas before, it was like, no, Thrawn's whole deal was after episode 6.
Okay.
Yeah. He has been expanded a bunch in canon comics and stuff like that as well. Like, he's one of the people that knows, you know, that Anakin is Vader. Like, there's definitely a lot of things. He really kind of pushes back on Palpatine's idea for, like, the Death Star. In that, okay, he's like, why are we spending all of these resources and funds on one space station when we should be building fleets? You know, it's like, would you rather have a fleet or would you rather have a Death Star? It's like, I'd rather have a fleet.
Okay.
So, yeah, Thrawn is like a master tactician. He, in the, like, extended universe and stuff, he uses these things called that's such a weird thing to say. Yulissamari. And you can see them in Rebels, these, like, sort of statues of them. They're basically these creatures that can block the Force.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically. Yeah, exactly. So, like, that's what also makes him formidable, because he is very skilled in combat on his own. So we're gonna see how that plays out. Some other things. Timothy Zahn recently just said something about the Grisk, which is this sort of, in the old extended universe, there was this things called the Yuuzhan Vong, which is like this, like there was like this huge war that basically was what would have happened around the same time as the sequel trilogy, where these like alien creatures came out of the unknown region, and they're called the Yuuzhan Vong, and basically it's like enormous war where it's like the empire, or it's like the galaxy, you know, because it's still like factioned out, you know, with the New Republic and everything, and the Outer Rim bursts these creatures that came from the unknown region. Then they sort of have these other things which also come from the unknown region called the Grisk, and that's sort of been what they've been using in canon. And Timothy Zahn said that that was actually his original plan, was he wanted it to be the Grisk, this, you know, the another sort of alien creature race that exists out there in the unknown region that was going to be the threat to the Chiss, which is what Thrawn is. There's this like Chiss ascendancy and everything, and it's basically it's like another, like it's like, you know, they're probably as powerful as like Mandalore, you know, like like his people, which is why Thrawn originally joins the Empire, because he realizes the Empire actually, he's not really like pro Empire, he's pro Chiss. And he realizes that the Empire have the strength to fight the Grisk, which is the thing. But back in the old days, he just went with the name Yuuzhan Vong because it had already been sort of established in the extended universe. Like all the other writers in the extended universe, because it was like a Wild West and like everyone's just writing stuff. Yeah, where now it's like, no, we got to like hone it all down. So it's kind of like in this long, you know, way of like extended universe back to canon, and let's cut some of the stuff out. He's back to his original plan. And that is what a lot of people think Dave Filoni still might go with. And then we might get the Yuuzhan Vong War, but now it's just going to be the Grisk. That is that thing that takes place between, you know, where we're at now with Mandalore and before, or with like the Mandalorian stuff before episode 7.
Okay.
And that might be the conflict. And that might be the thing that leads us into the First Order.
Okay. Now, does heir to the Empire, is he like the de facto, since Palpatine's gone, is he like...
Pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. Because it reminds me a little bit of in Lord of the Rings, when I would get Sauron and Saruman. Saruman,
I know, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
When he's gone, he kind of has somebody called the Mouth of Sauron that shows up in like the extended version of Return of the King. And he's sort of like this second in line to him, kind of. And so that's what that kind of made me think of. Like, there's got to still be, just because you cut the head off of the you know, the dragon or whatever, it doesn't mean like, isn't there another one that's going to grow back? And so Thrawn makes sense. And I think the Mandalorian, when Moff Gideon was in that hologram room with all the other little Empire people, that, okay, but it seemed like Moff Gideon wasn't really into that, like, or wait, yeah. was it Moff Gideon or when it, somebody wasn't so into like Thrawn, so I wonder like if people like are pulling for other, you know, other people to be in charge or whatever.
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, there was the one guy who Moff Gideon was talking to about Thrawn, and he's like, well, Thrawn's coming back, and you're just gonna have to deal with it. And some other people, and Gideon was kind of like, well, we haven't seen him. And then I think it was like a girl, like a female officer that agreed with him. And then he was like, well, I have my cloning thing. So yeah, it definitely seems like Gideon wants, and I also, and we can get into this, I don't think Gideon's dead at all. Whether we see a clone of him or that was a clone that was killed or any of this, I don't think Gideon's gone whatsoever. but I think that Gideon wants to be the heir to the Empire. He wants to be the one to sort of rule everything. And we can dive into a lot of that stuff. So, you know, obviously there was this, I think this was a shorter season. This was like 8 episodes.
It felt like, you know, shorter episodes, a shorter season. And it's like, you know, I always hate to like ask for more Star Wars, cause like we've all been through the Star Wars drought throughout the years,
right.
But like, you know, just maybe like 10 episodes or maybe just like 10 more minutes to certain episodes. You know, I like when Mando and Grogu go off and do their thing, and even with like Bo-Katan do the little mission style episodes. But like, like, again, with the finale and some of the bigger, more prominent episodes, just like a little bit longer, but that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, because this season, the way this season was weird. Like, the other season was kind of like, okay, we get the trailers and we're like, all right, I can kind of piece together how I think this is going to go. This season, it was like, man, the trailers led me to believe that it was just going to be, I don't know, maybe bigger, like just more going on. And like, I thought that, like, the whole Mandalore stuff, like, I kind of thought maybe this season, like, we would see Moff Gideon, but he wouldn't be like the villain in it. I mean, he would be like, we would see like, oh, and he's building something. He would just be kind of like, all right, that's for season 4 or like Ahsoka. And then I thought we were going to get Bo-Katan versus Din towards like the end of the season. And that was going to be like how the season ends. And like, Mines of Mandalore, I did not think we were going there in like episode like 1. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, really, it's like episode 1 and 2 were in the Mines of Mandalore. And then I kind of thought the Dr. Pershing thing would take a little bit longer too. So this season, it definitely threw me for a loop. Again, I still liked it, but I'll pull up some of the episodes here and we can just kind of briefly go over them a little bit here, because I think that might be the best way to structure, because there's a lot going on, a lot of threads now. So chapter 17 was the first episode, The Apostate. And this was pretty cool, because this is where we get to see the new Mandalorian, Covent. And, you know, we go to Navarro, which is now a little bit bigger. And he's like, hey, I need IG-11 back so he can be destroyed to help Grogu. I definitely never thought we would see Grogu in like a mech suit. and later, that was definitely, you know, like one of the funniest parts of it. But yeah, I mean, so what did you think about like the Mandalorian, the Covent, and the armor this season?
I feel bad forever thinking that she could possibly be a spy or like in on it, but she's just so mysterious, you know? So mm-hmm. It's like, I like that they leave that kind of mystique about her. I think the one thing that I felt like going into the season was like, I think what's going to be pretty Mandalore heavy, Mandalorians have, or like finding more Mandalorians, coming together, going back to the planet. And like, we kind of did that, you know, in up and down ways. But I think this was the one that started out with Pod Vizsla's son was
right.
Starting doing the Creed. So it's kind of nice to see the little inner workings of them. But like, and then having, you know, Din and Grogu come in on the Naboo, the N1 fighter thing.
Right.
And getting that big turtle monster out of the way was pretty cool. But it was a good way to kick off the season of like, you know, he needs to atone for taking off the helmet. It's like crazy that we're still hung up on like the helmet coming off. That was like, okay. And then I thought it was funny when he did bathe in the waters, how when he came back, Paz Vizsla was like, I don't really believe you.
You were right.
he's like, why would I lie? But yeah, so I mean, that's why, not to go back to the end of it, when Din didn't stay on Mandalore and didn't like stay with the armor and everybody, I was like, dang, he was pretty, the beginning of the season, you know, he was atoning for taking off the helmet, going to great lengths to do so, and then just to go back off to Navarro and be a martial bounty hunter, whatever kind of a guy. It's sort of like, well, where did we drop that ball, like, a little right. bit, you know? So I was happiest when we were going to Mandalore and seeing all the freaky stuff in it and the trolls and the little eyeball robot guy. That's when, like, you know, that's some of the highlights of the season for me, was, like, when we were actually on the planet and having, you know, him trying to get IG 11 and then ending up with what was it, the R5 unit,
right.
that definitely didn't want to go in the Mines of Mandalore. That was kind of funny. And then the Bo-Katan stuff, seeing her just sitting on the throne, not having much to do, not having the Darksaber, not having any of her like troops or people anymore. I just was like, there's going to be the biggest fire that's going to be lit under her ass, and it's going to be go time. So it was kind of just like once we're going, we're gonna go. And like when Grogu showed up and was like, my dad's in trouble, that was like, all right, like let's do this. And I really enjoyed her hanging out with Grogu and being like, you know, you're not, he's not the only Mandalorian out there, you know, like there's more of us. So I thought, yeah, I loved that.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. All of the stuff with the Covent, you know, was great. Obviously I sad, you know, now that Paz Vizsla is gone, but he went down in like one of the most epic blaze of glories in Star Wars fashion. So that was such a cool way, you know, that's Jon Favreau's character too. So I was like, all right, well, if going down, I'm going, you know, like we better make this like pretty, we better make this like pretty freaking sweet. So that was definitely like pretty awesome. I gotta go with that. I will say there was some of the stuff with the armorer had me confused, because the episode with it's the one after the episode with Lizzo and Jack Black, which we'll talk about a little bit too, because that's when they go and they recruit the rest of them, then they all go back to Navarro and then they set up shop, and Bo-Katan is talking to her, and you know, I really thought that when she shows up, she's like, hey, take off your helmet. I was like, okay, like something's going on here. And she's talking about like, well, you are the one who needs to really unite Mandalore. So like, I kind of thought in that moment that what was really going to happen was, I thought she was kind of setting Bo up to be like, you need to go beat Din Djarin and take the Darksaber.
Like, kind of, yeah.
Like if you go back and watch it, like the tension is just really weird in that scene. You're like, okay, it seems like it's all mysterious, and then she's just like, nope, you guys are just gonna go get us more Mandalorians. So it's like,
okay, both ways. Yeah, it was like, yeah, how we went from like, oh, Bo-Katan, have you taken off your helmet yet? And she's like, well, no, not really. Well, then guess what? You're one of us right now. And then to turn around an episode or two later to be like, oh, well, you know, being called into the principal's office again, and it's like, oh, you got it. You can take it off now. You can walk both ways. It was like, it just got a little bit confusing. And I don't know if maybe on a second watch, it might be better. I don't know when I'm going to rewatch this season, maybe before season four. But yeah, it just, there were a few little head scratchy moments, you know, that, yeah, what?
And then the dark saber too.
What are we doing here? Yeah.
You know, and this is one of those places where it's like you hear some of like the stuff on the side. I don't think there's any need to worry, but you hear some of the stuff on the sidelines, like, well, like Pedro Pascal's upset because he wants to show his face more, because you have to show your face for X amount of time to be qualified for Academy Awards, and now he's like a mega star. So, you know, I'm sure he's like, I want to be, you know, eligible for awards, which is fine. I get it. So you have that, and then of course, you know, like Cara Dune wasn't in it for obvious reasons, and there, you know, so like you can, you know, were there moments where she should have actually been there that they said, well, we got to rewrite the script and figure that out. So you know, I mean, I definitely felt like we saw a little, like some cracks this season, and like stuff, you know, it's like this, like the Darksaber thing didn't make sense to me, because, you know, like the whole thing is the Darksaber is not the Darksaber is like not the Elder Wand. It's like you have to say, I'm challenging you for the Darksaber, and if I win it, I now rule Mandalore, is like the way it's supposed to go. And then it felt like just this weird way to give it to Bo-Katan. But the whole problem in the first place was that Sabine and Rebels basically just finds the Darksaber when they go to like Darth Maul's lair. And she's like, okay, well, I got it now. And then she's like, well, I'll just give it to Bo-Katan and everyone all in front of all these Mandalorians. And they're all like, okay, sweet. Now she's in charge. And so it's just like, and now it's just like Din just gave her the Darksaber after we spent all this time saying you can't do it. And if like that's the case, then you could go back and there's all sorts of arguments to be like, well, really, Obi-Wan beats Paz Vizsla when he has the Darksaber. So is Obi-Wan the leader of Mandalore, and then Obi-Wan's beaten by Vader, and then Vader, you know, it's like, or
yeah,
you could say
Vader gets the dark saber.
Yeah, or really, you know, and then, you know, really it's like Darth Maul, when he has it, he loses to Palpatine, and then Palpatine's defeated by, well, he's defeated by Vader. So, you know, it's like how it was confusing. It was like, this doesn't make sense.
I think Katie Sackhoff said, the Bo-Katan actress, which, like, I know she showed up in season two, but it's still so awesome that, like, a Clone Wars voice actor ended up in live action. I just think it's so freaking rad. And she looks so much like her. Her wig got so much better this season, too, by the way. But she did state that, like, she was a little thrown off by the Darksaber being, you know, broken at the end. And I feel like if they wanted to prove that, like, the Darksaber wasn't this, like, as symbolic as it is, then maybe that should have been in the narrative a little bit more. Like, you know, you don't need the big trophy to unite everybody and bring them together. But it was a kind of a big deal at the end of the Lizzo episode when she, you know, gets it when Din Djarin is just like, well, I watched her. I got captured. She freaking beat this creature with the Darksaber, so it's hers. Here you go. Have it. You know, as a chick, it's so cool to see, you know, somebody like Bo-Katan, you know, have something that powerful and everything. And then it's like, you know, he crushes the Darksaber, but doesn't crush her hand. That's why I was like, her hand should have been shattered in that move. But whatever.
Right.
It's just, so there's just, again, a few head scratcher moments that, like, unfortunately did take away from some of the funner, more lighthearted aspects of the season. And like to bring it back to season one and season two, not that I want to be beat up by Star Wars all the time, but, like, you know, at the end of season one, freaking Mando almost died. Like, when he had to take off his helmet that first time, I remember being like, whoa, this is really intense. And then there was a few really intense moments throughout the second season, and I just feel like we kind of didn't get anything that really, like, was, I don't know, all that, like, super duper impactful. I would say that Darksaber moment was probably one of the most impactful moments. I would say, you know, Grogu shielding them from the fire, that part really touched me.
Right, that was really cool.
You know, because you see, you know, Din going to protect him, and you see her little, Bo's little shield try to protect Grogu, and he's like, I got it, you guys. Like, that brought a lot of joy to my heart, and it made me tear up a little bit. But, like, you know, the Moff Gideon stuff, we just got this big bad guy back. He's been a mystery all season. Who took him? Who took him out of the New Republic, you know, spaceship, and where has he been? What is he doing? And then I like the Elia Kane plot line, the chick that was with Dr. Pershing. And then, you know, that was kind of cool. But, like, yeah, it leads me to think, like you said, that it must be a clone. And I don't think they would, no pun intended, but Moff Gideon is such a mustache twirling villain in the best way. I mean that in a total compliment. Right. He's so juicy as a villain. And he was so saucy in the finale of season two that, like, he kind of didn't quite have the same swagger and cadence. Right. And, like,
well,
I thought it was a little bit off, a little bit off.
Right. Well, have you heard? So there's the theory about Moff Gideon might be alive, or that it might have been a clone that was killed because of the mustache. Because have you seen that? It's crazy.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's crazy. I did a TikTok on it because Moff Gideon is not wearing a doesn't have a mustache this season, and he's had one, and the clones didn't. So people are like, you know,
And that's not just like, oh, Giancarlo Esposito shaved before he came on set that day. He very clearly, like, that's very intentional. Very intentional. And then I thought, you know, he fights Din for a little bit, then Bo comes in. And then he kind of, like, ignored Grogu to, like, a certain extent. I was sort of like, you know, he wasn't like, oh, there's the child, or there's that thing that I needed for his blood to do cloning stuff. It was just, I don't know, I thought he would be more like, oh, there's that little mythical little creature that I was so honed in on for two seasons straight. You know, it was all about Gideon capturing the child, and then it was just sort of like, it was a little funky. I did a recording with two friends on Sunday, and I just was like, it just felt like some things were a little funky. And I don't know if maybe somebody doing the writing or the show running wanted something one way and somebody wanted something different. It got a little bit funky there with Gideon at the end. And so it makes perfect sense that it was a freaking clone rather than the real deal.
Yeah, I'm with you. It just, you know, I think another thing too, you brought up the storyline of like Dr. Pershing and whatever the woman's name is,
Elia Kane.
Elia. Right. Right. I kind of felt like that would have been better had it been placed throughout the season rather than like one episode. Cause they started the episode with like, you know, it was just like, and then again, they do that thing where they cut to it. Like, now we're like, we're finished with this. Now let's go do like Din and, you know, Bo-Katan like flying over here for a second.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like some of the stuff they did in Book of Boba Fett. And I was like, man, that you honestly could have like separated that into like throughout the season. Cause we do see her again in the episode, The Spies, which I think is like episode 7 or whatever, where she's talking to Gideon before he goes and talks to like Shadow Council. And so it's like, you could have really spaced it out and it would have, you know, made some more sense and everything, as to why, like, hey, we want to kill Dr. Pershing because there's like cloning stuff going on. So it didn't vibe as well as I think they had hoped.
And she's a really good bad guy. Like I kind of skipped off when I said there wasn't anything dark that was like impactful. That Pershing episode, that ending right there with the mind flayer thing and with her eating the little biscuits and turning it all the way up, that was like spooky stuff right there. And I would have liked maybe a little bit more of that. So I don't know. I hope we see more of her in, you know, whatever, the next few seasons or movie or whatever we get. But I liked her. I thought she was a nice addition. She was a good villain, a sneaky villain.
Yeah. Oh, I agree 100%. She was great as like another villain in this season. And, you know, to think about where it's going to go with her next season, because now if, let's just say for the sake of argument, you know, we don't see Gideon for a while or Gideon's like dead. Like, now is she the one running the show? Is she going to be, you know, trying to pick up his pieces or, you know, to see what happens with her ultimately?
Yeah, because she stepped in. I forgot that the pirate episode. When I think Captain Carson was going to the New Republic and was like, hey, we should help the people on Nevarro. Pirates are taking over. And she just stepped in and she was just sort of like, well, Nevarro's not part of the New Republic, so maybe this would teach them a lesson. It was like, oh, okay.
Right.
So there's a pretty good thread. So I hope she hangs around and we get more of that dark side. You know, trickles of the empire, what's, you know, the remnants of it with her and hopefully the real Moff Gideon.
Right. What did you think of the Lizzo Jack Black episode?
I enjoyed
it. Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, and Christopher Lloyd. I thought he was a good little foil. Again, it was, besides the Darksaber stuff, it was another mission-oriented kind of episode. Like, you got to go through point A to get the, you know, whatever. But I like a good Star Wars cameo, and I just feel like Jack Black is perfectly fitting. I think a few months ago I tweeted like a gif of him, and I said there should be more soft body Jedis in Star Wars. And so when he showed up, I was like, okay, he's not a Jedi, but he's here. So, and I thought it was really cute that Grogu like helped her win her little game that she was playing. So it was kind of a filler episode outside of the Darksaber stuff, but you know, I didn't mind it. It was a nice little light.
On first watch, I was like, man, I don't know. I didn't like it because I was like, it's just weird. And it's one of those things also where it's different when you're binging it as opposed to watching it week by week. So because we were watching it week by week, I was like, this feels like really weird. Like, and it sort of took me out of it. But then I always watch it, you know, like first thing in the morning so I can get up and talk about it. And then I usually watch it later in the evening, you know, with my wife. And she, of course, loved it because she's a big Lizzo fan. So she was like, this is great. She loved it. And so then on my second watch, you know, it wasn't as weird. So I do think actually now that I've, you know, like seen it more and stuff like that, like I was like, okay, this is cool. Now I hope they come back. That would make it cool. Because then it's not just like a one-off. Then it's like, no, they're actually characters in Star Wars. And Lizzo did post a thing, which made me like it even more, talking about how she viewed this as like a rite of passage for her, because, you know, she's like, my dad and I watched it like all the time when I was a kid. And she's like, I love it. So she's like a true, like hardcore Star Wars fan.
Yes.
And so that makes you like appreciate it even more, because it's not just like, hey, well, let's go get like big name people to be, you know, in this, like in She-Hulk, like Megan Thee Stallion or whatever was in like that was more of like a cameo.
Okay.
Whereas this was more like, hey, these are people who actually genuinely love, you know, Star Wars.
It's but so all funny the... what ends up growing on you when it comes to Star Wars. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's some things that like I used to not like that I'm like, you know, like Attack of the Clones. Like, I could not be bothered to see that movie as a teenager, but like I put it on now and I'm like, this is just like such a delightful movie to put on. I love I love anything having to do with cloning and all of that stuff. So like, especially with like Kamino and everything. But Lizzo dressed up as Grogu for Halloween a year ago.
Right.
So,
And the memes also of Christopher Lloyd, the Mandalorian, like DeLorean.
They were great.
Because the week before it was the jokes were because the Dr. Pershing episode, everyone was like, this episode's too slow. And so everyone was making jokes that it was like Andor, right? Because like so they did the Mandalorian logo, but Andor is in there. So it was like Mandalorian, and it was like in there too. Because I loved Andor. I think we both did. But so it's like, you know, they're definitely, Andor's not for everyone. I loved it. So it was just kind of funny. The memes in the back-to-back weeks were pretty good. But if you had to pick a favorite moment for the season?
Ooh, okay. I would say my absolute favorite thing was when Din got captured by the eyeball robot thing and in the second episode, and you had Grogu going through the mines with Mandalore on his own, like blasting the trolls out of the way, flipping into the ship, pointing at the map at R5 and saying like, you know, we need to go to Bo-Katan's castle. I thought that was so cool. That whole sequence was, I don't know how they make, like CGI and special effects, they just blow my mind. And having this little puppet in this little pram, stroller without wheels, that to me was like one of the most delightful parts of the whole season. And then I would say probably when he protected Bo-Katan and Din from the fire, and he looked like he was, you know, in an orchestra, you know, or like a maestro or something. That I would definitely say that.
Yeah, for me, I would say Paz Vizsla's death was freaking
sweet. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And it was kind of like, because there was a lot of action going on, it's kind of easy to miss. But in the final episode, when all the Mandalorians are like storming the base, essentially, there's a couple shots of like this aerial shot. And you see, what is it? What is her name? So whatever Sasha Banks' character is.
Oh yes, Koska Reeves.
Koska Reeves, you're right. Like she's there, and then you see Bo-Katan flying, and she's got the Darksaber. But the armorer is like going down and like just flying down, and she's just like throwing her freaking hammer and like slamming these stormtroopers in the face. Like I was like, this is sick. Like this
she was so rad in the pirate episode when she went up into Greef Karga's office
and she's just leveling people. Yeah.
Yeah,
they've done a couple of these. They're just badass scenes with they also just happen to be badass women. But if you want to call them like girl power scenes or whatever, because they did one, you know, last in season two where it's like, and it's also one of my favorite shots in Mandalorian. It's right once they come out of the elevator and it's just like this close up of Gina Carano, you know, it's Cara Dune, and like she's got like the big ass like gun like right there. And it's like, and then obviously Fennec, yeah, like they're all there, and like it's just such a cool scene. But I think this season's was even more sweet just because it was like them and they're like flying down, and like Bo-Katan gets the Darksaber out, and it's like it was sweet. But it's so short. It's a short little snippet because there's a lot going on at the same time.
That was an amazing sequence. Again, like mind blowing. Like how do they do this?
Yeah. So now that we've both seen obviously the three seasons, how would you rank them?
Ooh, okay. I would say I would go 2, 1, and 3 if I had to put them in order. I gotta go back to season one again. I think it's been like probably 2 years since I've really watched any episode from season one. I'd love to just watch the pilot again to see like his little hand come out of the thing and touch Din Djarin again.
Yeah. We rewatched all of it, including Book of Boba Fett, before season three came out. And yeah, season one is really good. Like that first episode is amazing. Like the opening sequence is just so good. But I'm 100% agreement with you. I feel like I would go with the same 2, 1, 3. And again, not that, I mean, if I rank, I had to rank season, like season two for me is like 5 out of 5 stars. Whereas like season one is like 4.5 stars out of 5. And for me, it's like season three is probably like 3.5 stars out of 5. Like it's still like a great season, but I didn't feel as, you know, like ultra connected to it. Plenty of space. So, okay, let's dive into Visions a little bit here. Because I'd love to hear your thoughts on Visions. Well, we have in the past talked about Visions season one, but we can also talk about like Visions, obviously season two, since that just came out.
Okay. What were your favorite, not to ask you questions, but what few episodes were like the highlights for you for Visions two this time?
Yeah. So first I want to say this just as my thoughts on Visions in the first place. So I love the concept of Star Wars Visions because the whole deal is that it is, we're going to give a bunch of different people opportunities to create stuff for Star Wars. And it's, you know, it's like, I think season one was, they're both 9 episodes each. And so, you know, it's like, there's the best part about it was when season one came out, I remember talking to everybody and, you know, people were replying in the comments and everything. And it was like, everybody had a totally different opinion about what they liked. So I didn't find myself liking season two as much as I did season one. But I think some of that might just be, there's a lot going on when season two came out. You know,
yeah,
like
there's been a lot going on in Star like, Wars.
We just got over
year.
Mando. It was came out on May the 4th, where there was some new Star Wars news, and it was Jedi Survivors getting ready to come out. So sort of like there was a lot going on. I also think that Visions, in some ways, it's because, you know, it's, I don't think it's really intended to be binged. But as Star Wars fans, we do, because that was one of the things I felt like, you know, the Order in season one, I was like, man, the Order jumped around a lot, but it's, they're just standalone episodes. So, like season one, I'll look at it, cause I sort of look at it as a whole, you know, like the first episode, the duel, that was that black and white one with like red with the Sith saber. Like a lot of people love that one. Not me. I didn't particularly like it, cause I really love like the true, like, you know, old school anime and everything. So when we got to like episode two, which was Tatooine Rhapsody, which was that like rock concert one, I was like, okay, now this is my game. And then it was 4 and 5 of season one, which is the Village Bride and the Ninth Jedi. I was like, oh yeah, like this is my jam. So season two, I actually, you know, the first one is, I really liked the Sith one. It was, you know, this season also didn't have as much like anime animation, whereas this was much more just like animation. Mm-hmm. It was definitely not like that, you know, sort of like cartoon, I guess, if you want, like anime style. There was one episode which was like that, Journey to the Dark Head, episode 5. That was my favorite, because I was like, when I got to that one, I was like, oh yep, here we go, this is that like anime style, you know, great combat and everything. So episode 5 for me was by far my favorite of the season.
Awesome.
Yeah, how about you?
I think to this day, out of all of them, it's so funny, is the first one from
season one.
Yeah, the Ronin. The duel. His character is just so interesting, and I think there's like a book or something out on him, which I should get into. But I really liked, there was two stories that stood out to me that had really good sibling dynamics. Mm-hmm. It was In the Stars with the two sisters who their whole village had gotten blown up, and the Empire was hoarding all the water, their water, and you had the older sister protecting the younger sister, and then there was the Bandits of Golok, I hope I'm saying that right, mm-hmm. with the older brother and the little sister, and she's force sensitive, and he's trying to protect her, and there's that older lady that shows up at the end, and her staff breaks into two different lightsabers. She's got the dual, you know, the dual lightsabers. And I just, those ones were my favorite. And then the Spy Dancer one, where you had the theater that was entertaining the stormtroopers and stuff. There is a podcast YouTube channel called Father Son Galaxy. It's a father and son that get into Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And they brought up that the director was inspired by the World War II resistance, and by this really world famous entertainer named Josephine Baker, who I did a podcast on quite a few years ago. But she was a singer dancer here in America. She moved to France because racism in America is really awful and horrible, and it right. wasn't quite as bad in France for her, and she became a superstar. But World War II happened while she was living there, and she actually did some resistance stuff against the Nazis. And so I guess the Spy Dancer episode was a little bit inspired by her. And so that just made my heart really happy. That was a tragic episode too, having the lady's son was taken from her when he was just a baby, and then the son coming back at the end of the episode. You know, for 10-minute, 15-minute little episodes, they really do pack a punch. And so I really like those ones a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, it's the thing about it where it's like, even though I didn't like this season as much as I liked last season, I think for me, really, it was just like, honestly, it really just came down to animation style, and where it's just, and even though I didn't like it, it's fine. Like, it's not bad or anything, because it's the whole purpose is to give a bunch of different slices of, say, hey, try this, try that, you know, like that's the fun thing about Visions. I also really was kind of hoping maybe we would get like one or two of, you know, the episodes that everyone seemed to be talking about last time, like we'd get a continuation. I kind of thought we would, and then that didn't happen. Not that they said it was going to, I just thought maybe that could have been, you know, something that that was the case, but that that didn't happen. And then a lot of the stories in this season felt pretty similar. Like they all were like kind of like similar. They were all like just young girls like discovering the forest, which is like fine. But it was just like, well, 9 episodes of that is like, okay, well, you know, they all felt kind of similar. Whereas like season one, like every episode felt like a total different, like totally different, like plot thread story. There was one about the little robot, like the droid, you know, and everything. So it was just like, okay, so, you know, it's just, we only had season one to go off of. And so it's like, when you get into season two and it's like, oh, okay, this, it's all a little more similar. And then the animation style in a lot of the episodes I found, I thought were more almost like Pixar-y, if I had to describe it. But yeah, I mean, it was still good. And again, it's the other thing is it's like, that's the whole purpose of this thing. It's like every episode is going to be totally different and everyone's going to kind of like some things that they did. Another one of the other ones that I liked, and I think was felt like online, the one everyone was talking about was the last one, like Aeos song or something like that.
Oh, did I get, I don't know if I got to that one. My sons, they're both kind of still into Star Wars, but not quite as much. And so the other day, my oldest was like, let's watch the new Visions, Mom. And I was like, okay. So we kind of blew through about 7 of them. And then today I rewatched a couple of them, but I am blanking out on the very last one.
Yeah, it's the one. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's the one. There's a young girl named Aya. It's like A-A-U. And I forget how they pronounce it in the episode. Seems to have an unusual effects on crystals when she sings. Her father, a bat, is trying to help a Jedi named Kratu finding a way to heal these like crystals, but he warns like the singing could be dangerous. They go inside a cave. She begins to sing, and it causes like the cave to react violently. And then the Jedi tries to save him, but she realizes she must sing again. And then she purifies the crystals. So it was kind of cool. And it was another one. Like I thought the animation, I kind of liked it in this one. But yeah, I mean, that's it's the whole deal about Visions is every episode's going to be different, which is for me, like I was like episode 5 was my favorite because it was like that good, like classic, like, you know, anime cartoon sort of style, which is another reason why I know a lot of people don't like it. You know, the animation we get in like the 3D animation we get in Clone Wars and Bad Batch and then Rebels, I just still sort of prefer like the old animated Clone Wars original one that's like a cartoon.
The 2D, the
2D, you know, I don't know what it is. I just love it. Maybe it's because I grew up watching anime, you know, like Dragon Ball and all, you know, Gundam and heck, even Sailor Moon because it was on, you know, but you know, so it's like that's that for me. As soon as we get hit that, I was like, all right, now I'm in. So yeah, I mean, I like the project of Visions like as a whole, and I really hope that we get like, you know, a season 3 and a season 4 and everything, and hopefully, you know, I'd love to see some of these continued because some of these
that would be cool, like a volume 2 or like a part 2 or whatever to some of them.
Right. Yeah, because in season 1, like the Village Bride episode and the Ninth Jedi, those were like sweet. I mean, those were like by far, those are my favorite of the whole thing. And then there was that one, Toby one.
Oh yeah, Toby one.
The little, he's like the little droid. Yeah, I loved it.
I really enjoyed the twins episode where you had the two that were, they were made by the dark side, for the dark side, by the dark side, and then you had the brother and sister kind of split apart. That one was gnarly. That was a really good
episode. And the animation on that too was like really cool. It was like very colorful, you know type of thing too. Okay, well, I guess, you know, that might be it, Sarah. We kind of ran through Visions, talked about Mando, just some other, you know, other things we haven't really talked about. You know, you and I both are kind of finishing Bad Batch. You know, it's one of those things where it's like Bad Batch being on at the same time as Mando. Sorry.
It's funky. It's like
I don't like it.
I'm saving season 2 for when there's, not other Star Wars stuff going on because I want to give it my full and undivided attention. And I've already had stuff spoiled on Twitter. I already know which character we're going to lose at the end and who's betrayed who, but that's okay. But like you said, when there's so much going on at once and everything is like, bam, 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 it's like my brain can only contain and retain so much. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into season two of Bad Batch in a nice quiet setting with like not a whole bunch of other Star Wars things going on at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like right now actually would be the perfect time to release Bad Batch season two. Cause it's like, okay, Mando's over. Now we have like nothing nothing other than the video game.
August.
Until August. And so, yeah, I don't get that. Cause they did the same thing during Andor, where it's like Andor was already going up against House of the Dragon and Lord of the Rings and like some other, and like She-Hulk. There's a lot of competition for Andor, unfortunately. And then Tales of the Jedi. That dropped during one of the weeks of of Andor, and so
I'm only like three. I'm only three episodes.
I know
three episodes in the Tales of the Jedi.
I know
short stories too.
I know it's the problem. It's not the problem that we don't have enough. The problem with Star Wars is that they release it. They keep releasing it on top of each other when they don't need to.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And
spread
so
it out a little bit.
Yeah, because it for a long time it was like they would own like they never wanted to have a Marvel show running against a Star Wars show. It was like, okay, Marvel, Star Wars, and that was fine. Then it was like, all right, now we got like some overlap and some things, and it was like it's too hard to keep up with all the little projects when you're dumping them on the same week.
Yeah, when you go to dinner, you don't want your appetizer and your salad and the dinner and your entree to show up
at the exact same time. So fun. All right. Well, Sarah, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Sarah Palpatine on Twitter and TikTok and YouTube. Now I'm back on Instagram after a long, long hiatus. But yeah, I've been doing, I did almost every episode of Mandalorian on my podcast. I'm in the middle of Succession right now. So Curiosity Killed the Cat is the podcast you can find me at. Perfect. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. I love all anytime we can get together to talk Star Wars or anything is always such a fun time. So awesome. Well, with that, guys, as always, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And remember that
swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.